had somebody. But when you get to the 24 carat, when you get to the 24 carat, that means that it's been put under fire. It's been tried. It's been tested. Amen. And it's been put under the heat, and all of the impurities are all gone. And so what God does, he takes and puts us under fire. Amen. He said the trial of your what? Faith is more precious than gold. And so what God is saying, that the purpose of our trials is so that we can see that our faith is more valuable. God sees you as valuable, but he wants you to see that your faith is more valuable than money in the bank. Preach. He wants you to see that it's more valuable than good credit, because your credit couldn't get it, but God gave you favor because of your faith. Preach anyway. We got to understand that our faith is more valuable than 14, 24 karat gold. And anytime we have our faith and our faith becomes valuable in our sight, you don't worry about what the enemy has brought in your life, because your connection to God is so important that I'm not looking at what the enemy's doing, because I'm overcoming him. I'm going through this without a problem. I wish I had somebody. I'm going through this believing in God that he can make a way where it looked like it wasn't no way. He said the trial of your faith is more precious than that of gold that perisheth. In other words, gold is going to go away one day, but your faith can't go nowhere. You need to make sure that your faith is so strong that it'll never fail. If anything else, your money might fail, and who knows, the dollar one day may not be any good, because a dollar ain't a dollar anymore. It's only about 70 cents. I wish I had somebody. And so when we look at this, he says, your faith, he said, being more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. In other words, God puts you through some heated situations. He puts you through some hot trials, some things that'll run you hot if you don't watch it. Preach anyway. He puts you to some things that seem like it'll burn you up or either burn you out. Say amen there. He puts us through some stuff, and the thing about it is that he's the one that has control of the burner. He either makes it hot or he turns the fire off. Come on and say amen. It is him that is the one that's looking at it, and he's taking the dross or the impurities off the top. And when I think about refining of gold and refining of silver, you know what the smith does when he do that? He looks at it, and when he can see his reflection, then he knows that it's good enough. He looks at it, and all the impurities there, all the impurities are in the pot, all the impurities on the top, and he can't really see his perfect reflection, so he skims it off, and he turns up the heat, and more of it comes to the top, and he doesn't see his reflection, so he skims it off and throw it away. But when he looks back at the pot, and he looks at the pot of gold or the pot of silver, he looks at it, and he sees his perfect reflection like a mirror, then he said, now it's ready. I wish I had somebody. The reason God is allowing you to go through is so that you'll look more like him while you go through. He wants to see himself in you. He don't want to see you, and that's why you got to quit showing people who you are. They don't know me. They about to find out who I am, because you're going through. Don't let them know who you are. In that way, you need to let them know who Christ is on the inside of you. I wish I had somebody. We got to let them know who God is in our life. We got to let God shine, and you quit trying to shine. Quit giving people a piece of your mind, and let them have the mind of Christ. Let them know, if it had not been for the Lord on my side and yours too, because if I was the way I used to be, I wish I had somebody. We need to let them know that I've been changed.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to study your word. So faithful are you to your word and to those who practice your word that we look with great expectation for the illumination and understanding of this that you have given to us to know tonight. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can in the text, tailoring each one of us to the truth and the truth to us, that we might practice and apply all of the principles, reap the profit, and give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in his presence. You know, my brothers and sisters, so oftentimes we are defeated by the very words that come out of our mouths, by the things that we say, by the issues that we see and or experience. And so oftentimes the enemy's desire is to use us against us to defeat us. And your biggest enemy is not always the person on the outside of you or the situation outside of you, but sometimes the fact that you, not knowing the Word of God and how to operate in the Word of God, sometimes are defeated by your own word. So we want to talk about, be careful what you say, you just might get it. Be careful what you say. And well, that works both in the positive and the negative. And so if you recognize this through the study, I believe it'll help you. And this is no new word. It's just a continuation of revelation on what many of us already know. Now, the first thing I want you to know about the word is that the influence of the spoken word is powerful. The influence of the spoken word. There is power in the and influence in the spoken word and the influence of the spoken word. Why is that so important to recognize? Because again, if you realize from Scripture that God is giving you license, creative license, to speak, to create, to frame up the things that you want to materialize in your life, then you will be careful about some of the things that you say and how you let words leave from your mouth. Look at Proverbs 6:2, and it talks about you are snared. And the word snared means caught in a trap. You are caught in a trap by the words of your own mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Now, this is important again. Why does this make sense and why is this necessary to understand? That many of the traps that we are caught in today, we are caught in because we don't realize that the enemy used us to set the trap up for us. Many of the predicaments you're in, many of the situations you experience in your body, in your mind, in your finances, in your life, on your job, in your family, in your relationships, you have spoken those things, be they good or bad, yourself. And so the problem is, you can blame other folk for stuff other folk do, but you really can't blame them for what you do. You're responsible, you're accountable for the words that leave out of your mouth. Now, one of the things you've got to recognize about this is, The reason the word says ye are snared by the words of your mouth, your own mouth, is this. Many times when you say them, you may say them in the heat of passion. You may be upset. You may be angry. You may be disturbed, distressed, whatever the case is. But what the enemy don't let you know is that once those words leave your mouth, you no longer are in control of, one, how they affect the other person, but two, how like a boomerang they're coming back to you. So it may feel good to curse right now, to share something with somebody, you know, what's on your mind and what's on your heart, and get that little release temporarily so. But what you create after that release will be a trap that you've set for yourself. And so it says, you are taken by the words of your own mouth. Now listen again. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life. Look at how it starts off. Death. Conjunction and life, both of them being equal, which means you determine whether or not death and or life is going to be a part of your life and or your situation and what you get back as a harvest. The words you speak are seeds you sow. And so the reality is, when your tree starts blooming and you don't like the fruit, guess what? That's what you planted and that's what you're going to eat. Because the word says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now notice again, it starts off with death. Why do you think it starts off with death? Because most people speak death more than life to their situations, their circumstances, and the things that they again see and portray as a desire or a design or an experience of their lives. And so when you see a situation, just because the situation is bad don't mean you have to speak death to it. See, you can look at a situation and it may look like it's dead to somebody else, but you can speak life to it. And then what you need to recognize is that the power of the tongue is so important, because we're talking about the influence of the spoken word. The power of the tongue is so important that even if the thing is dead, you've got the power to resurrect it. Amen. Remember when they called for Jesus to come and check on Lazarus? And Lazarus was at the point of death. Jesus delayed his journey by 2 days. And so when he got back, if he had left when they called him, he would have gotten there before Lazarus died. But he knew what was going on, so he delayed his journey by 2 days, and it took 2 days to get back. So it was 4 days when he got back to Lazarus, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were upset. And they said, if you had just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, show me where you laid him. So they take him down to the graveyard, and there's a great stone rolled before the door. And Jesus tells them, roll the stone back. And what does Jesus do? Do you remember? Can anybody tell me what he does? Give me a hand, because I mean, y'all are mumbling and I don't know what you're saying. All right, right. He did what then? He called Lazarus forth. He didn't go into the graveyard. He didn't go there and touch him and lay hands and anoint him with oil. He stood right there and said, Lazarus, come forth, and gave life, resurrection, to a dead situation. We're talking about the influence of the spoken word. I mean, I can go through scripture and share with you so many different situations of how God is able to resurrect something that's dead. So Jesus could have gone there and said, you're right, his body does stink now. It's too late now. There's no hope for him. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus made the power of his word so powerful that it influenced death. Death released him and life came back into him. So what I'm trying to tell somebody is, don't go by what you see. You're going to miss out on the best blessings of God by looking at stuff. I mean, again, when Israel was told, Canaan land is your land of promise. Yeah, Lord, but they got giants there. The Lord said, I didn't make no mention about the giants, because the giants ain't no problem. Just go get what belongs to you. See, we can't see that because that don't make sense in the natural mind. And so we start speaking. What did the Israelites say? We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, not the giant's sight. How many of you know, have you seen on cartoons and all animations, what are elephants scared of? Not lions, not rhinoceros, little old bitty mice that they can just stomp on like that. Let me make this way. Some of you are scared of roaches and you're scared of geckos and stuff. Run you crazy with a little lizard. Now, look at the power you have to destroy that, but that scares you to death. Am I talking to anybody? Any making sense of what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to help you understand is the power that comes from your mouth is going to give life or death to the situation as it relates to your part in it. And so you must you be careful, because there is a great influence, maybe not on the immediacy of the situation, but you got to realize that it starts in the spirit realm and then it manifests itself in the natural realm. So if you don't see an immediate change, it all depends on how powerful your faith is that fills the words that you speak, whether or not you will see an immediate response. And sometimes your faith has to be exercised so that it is strong enough. You may have enough faith to say it, but not enough faith to see it at that point, which means that it doesn't follow all the way through to the end. Sometimes it dies before it reaches the end result. So that's why you got to have sustaining faith to be able to take you to that next level or to that place where it actually manifest itself. That's why you've got to say it and believe it and believe it and say it, so that the reality of it is manifested in your life, because the end result is they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you're always negative, all you're going to get back is a negative harvest. Nothing ever good happens to you. You speak that kind of craziness, nothing ever good is going to happen to you. I never win anything, nothing, all of that negativity. Look, you know what? You're a winner, period. You are a winner. So as a winner, you need to speak as a winner. You are a victor. So as a victor, you need to speak victoriously. You're an overcomer. So when the situation comes against you, you need to say, I'm coming over this. You may be blocking me, but that ain't no big thing and it ain't no new thing. And I'm going to do like I've done before. I'm going to overcome this setback. I'm going to overcome this tragedy. I'm going to overcome whatever the enemy has placed before me, because that is who I am. I am an overcomer. I am a victor. I am more than a conqueror. See, this is what you've got to speak to yourself, because this is what you're going to eat as fruit in your own life. So when you begin, and that's why I keep telling so many of us as we transition from one place to the next place in the Word, recognize that the people you communicate with, the people that you keep company with, those people have influence by their words on you. So that's why the saved have got to be careful about their fellowship with the unsaved. Because one of the things that you're going to recognize is that God has given us the power to not only speak those things that be not as though they were, but the problem is that when we are a part of negativity and company that is negative, then we many times allow that to seep into our spirits. Because when things are spoken into our hearing, it also many times works itself down inside of us. And if it creates doubt, the enemy will work on that doubt so as to steal your faith, to steal your joy, to steal your peace. And you're going to have to work to get that mess out where it shouldn't have gotten in the first place. But when we're in the wrong place and dealing with the wrong people, you're going to hear wrong things, and things that are negative and things that are not like the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. Verse 36 says, but I say to you that for every idle word — what does the word idle mean? It means every useless and vain word, every word that is not profitable, every word that is not life-producing. Listen. Every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That means when you start recognizing the power and the influence of your words, you stop wasting your words on idleness, on words that profit nothing, on words that are worthless, on words that create negativity. You stop wasting your words because your words are too influential. You realize that you are influencing the spirit kingdom when you open up your mouth, and it's going to be either the positive or the negative. It's either going to be God's spiritual kingdom or the Satan or the Antichrist, Satan himself, his kingdom. When you speak negativity and words that are death carrying, Satan gets a hold of those things. things, and he gives to you the reality of what is that that you have spoken. When you speak life-giving and life-filling words, words that are worthy, words that are worth anything, God takes those words and he begins to operate on those. Notice what verse 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, here's what's important for you to realize. If you're going to be justified by your words, then you need to start saying the kind of words that bring about the justice that you will receive in the end of this reality. If not, the same words you speak, if they're not justifiable words, they're going to be words of condemnation. They're going to condemn you. But notice who is at the heart of the justification or the condemnation. You. It's not what folks say about you. It's what you say yourself. And so what you don't realize is you have the power of the influence of the spoken word. And so, listen to this. It not only influences things in the natural realm, it influences things in the supernatural realm. That's the thing that you miss. It's the supernatural realm that affects the natural, but you've got to realize because you're made of dust and divinity, which means flesh and spirit, you have an effect in both realms. Both realms. So don't you think that when you speak some words, it's not going to affect folk in the natural realm? Because it is. I don't care how much somebody try to pretend that they're hard and they're tough and that words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Oh, really? I want you to know, I don't care how hard you are and how many bad words you can throw back at them, if they hit you with the right set of words, they can make a grown man cry. Knock you to your knees. Don't you think that they do not have an effect? Because they do. You might not want folk to know the effect they've had. Don't let them see you sweat. Don't let them see you cry. Don't let them see that they're working your nerves. They stay there long enough talking enough of that stuff, and you will have a breakdown or a meltdown. And see, what you need to recognize is words are powerful. And not only do they affect the natural, but again, they affect the spirit realm, the supernatural realm. So remember that. Now we will move from influence of the spoken word to instructions on how to speak. The principles. Now this is important because the influence of the spoken word was power, but how to get that power and use that power correctly is when, you know, we want to give you a few scriptures that'll share the principles so that you will be able to operate in them. Ephesians 4:29 and through 31 says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Now, of course, corrupt means anything that is unrighteous, anything that is not like God, anything that is not life producing. It says, "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." One of the things that you've got to recognize, brothers and sisters, is that as a believer, as a child of God, you have got to start making your speech line up with the Word of God. Say what He says. You have got to see it the way God shows it to you in the spirit realm. God is a victorious God who's going to show you it His way, who's going to manifest it His way. So we've got to operate in it His way. Our communications cannot be corrupt. That means not just speaking, but acting or doing. Look again at what it says. It says, "But that which is good," which means we've got to lend ourselves to looking at the brighter side, the glass being half full, not half empty. We've got to see it the way God says it and not the way man says it. Verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." All of these things will lead you to communicate badly. It's corrupt and it is corrupting. Notice again, bitterness. You don't believe it? Ever heard the conversation of a bitter person? Man, you can be right in the midst of a good time, just let somebody bitter. You know, here you are, you enjoying life, and somebody bitter comes up. "Yeah, that's good, and I enjoy it now." Uh-huh. "Yeah, I used to have it like that, too." You know, I mean, you just get around, you know. You talk about, "Ooh, yo, child, my husband just bought me flowers." "Yeah, how long you been married?" He used to buy me flowers when we first got married, but if I want flowers now, I got to go pick them up out of my garden. You know, I mean, you know, just negative, bitter, bitter, bitter. I mean, and they start bashing, and then all that comes out of their mouths. You can't say nothing good without them coming up and saying something bitter. Keep on going through it, wrath. Somebody that's angry, I mean, negativity comes out of their mouth. Nothing but bad things to say about it. I mean, on and on and on, clamor, evil speak. All of those things produce evil communication. You know, when it's in your heart, it is in an abundance then. And that means that's what the mouth is going to speak. It can't speak differently because the heart is consumed with the bitterness, with the evil speaking, with the clamor, with the anger. And so that's what comes up because that is the reality of what is so much inside the heart. Philippians 2, 4, verse 14 and 15 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why is this important? Because when you recognize that you represent God, that men look to you because you're born again, you're on a job. You might say, you know, boss asked you to do such and such. You say, well, that ain't my job description. That ain't my job. That's Sally's job. That's Joe's job. Yeah, I know, but I'd like you to do that for me. Well, man, and see, now when I want to get off early, I don't want to hear nothing because, you know, blah, 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 blah. That, what you realize is you represent God in every place and every space. See, you may be the only Bible some people read. You may be the only good thing that somebody might hear that day. What you share, what you speak, how you act, how you react, how you deal and do things may be the only way that God can impact some people's lives. See, but you also don't realize that sometimes what God does is he uses you and brings you out of your place of comfort to prove that he can use you in more ways and you are multi-talented and multifaceted so that he can use you to set you up to be promoted in different ways. Sometimes his promotion is not necessarily in that company. See, so what you're missing is God is the one, the Bible says, who gives promotions. You may do all of the work that nobody sees and the extras that are being done on this job, but God may take you all away from that job, put you in a whole new place far higher in another job because he's the rewarder of those who honor his word. So it says, do all things. Somebody say all things. Without murmuring. If they're good things to do, do them and shut your mouth. It don't have to be in your job description to do good. It's in your job description as a believer to do good. Look what it says. It says, do it without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Ultimately, men will see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why you're doing it. God's got you where you are for a reason, for a season. And it is in that time that you're to shine because when God moves you out of that place, you're not going to be the light then that is necessary to bring glory to him. And see, what a whole lot of us don't realize is it's not till we're able to do what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to do it, that God will give us the promotion from that place. The longer it takes you by murmuring, disputing, complaining, you're going to stay there longer because you're going to let your light shine sooner or later. And the sooner you let it shine, the more God gets the glory. And if God gets the glory, then can I tell you, he don't have a problem with you getting some gold? See, he has the power and the ability to do what he wants to do and to affect what he wants to affect. Again, we're talking about the instructions on how to speak because he's telling us in his word these principles. 1 Peter 3 and 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, no deceit. Now, this is important. If you really want to love life and say that you want the best out of life, notice this, that if you desire to see good days, watch your mouth. You mean to tell me good days are connected with what I say? Yes, they are. For he that will love life. Listen to this. Maybe your life right now may not be what you want. It may not be where you want it to be. But if you will love life, if you're going to come into the place of loving life, if you're going to begin to speak life to a whole nother level and then walk into the life that you have spoken, you're going to have to recognize what you let come out of your mouth can affect those good days from coming. Why is it that people in the world see good days as past days? Those were the good old days. Do you ever hear folk talking about the future? Man, I can't wait for these good new days. No, it's always talking about the good old days, like their best is behind them. Listen to this. Your best is not behind you. Your best is before you. And for some of you, your best is beyond you. You haven't even gotten to your best yet because you don't even know how to operate and call the best into.